From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Morning Edition.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Good morning. It is Wednesday, March 27th.
Let's get started.
The whole bridge just fell down. The whole bridge just collapsed.
You can hear the panic moments after Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge crumbles. A community in mourning with a rescue transition to recovery.
That's another advantage to California. Because of the earthquakes, we've had to design our bridges so that they can absorb energy.
The Baltimore collapse might have you concerned about our Bay Area bridges. Experts calm your fears.
I think now we really are like valued and appreciated for helping people express who they really are and find the other people like them.
Changing the dating game and the search for a special someone. An opportunity to find love in the LGBTQ community. And the Mega Millions run is finally over. A winning ticket for the jackpot. But don't lose hope. You have another chance tonight to live out your lottery dreams.
You sad?
I am a little sad, Reed. Wait, of course, who isn't? You didn't win billions of dollars. That would have been nice. But, you know, I am happy for whoever won. I want to put that good, positive vibes out there. Good for you.
Well, this is Gianna Franco. I'm Reed, and we are your pity party this morning. Neither one of us won.
No, it's okay.
But I do believe that the fix for all of that is gratitude, right?
Yes.
Looking at what we have and having gratitude for every little thing in our life, be it big or small. And that involves our beautiful vistas here in the Bay Area and the fact that we can look out and see what's going on in many vantage points. Good morning to our friends in San Jose. And that sky looks just like a painting, Gianna.
Oh my gosh, I love how the clouds are sort of just kind of coming in through the side there. And I think it's because it's a little uneasy today, Paul. I know that's probably not a typical weather term, but we got some rain coming our way.
I like it. Uneasy, unsettled, it all works. And that's about as far south as our camera network goes. And we've got a good amount of sunshine in the South Bay. So I'm happy to see that the farther you get away from the storm, we're still holding on to some sunshine. And San Jose, if you've got it now, you likely in the South Bay will have sunshine for at least a couple hours. The rain is holding off for right now. We are dry, for the morning commute, but rain will spread south throughout the day. It may be this evening before some of you in San Jose and the South Bay get that rain. It will be soggy later on today, and it's the first of two storms, but we are dry for right now. So please enjoy it. Here's a confirmation of the dry on the radar. We see nothing anywhere close to San Francisco. There's the front, but we just took a really quick trip to the north. This is north of Ukiah and north of Fort Bragg. That's where the rain's been for the past couple hours. That's where it's likely to stay for the next couple hours. So the rain stays there. We just built a map. As we bring this map down, we wanted to show you, and using our awesome new technology here, when we think the rain will arrive. What time do we think the rain will arrive? Well, in Petaluma, it's going to be around lunchtime when the rain will arrive. In Novato, sometime around 2 o'clock. In Vallejo, ballpark 3 o'clock. Don't marry yourself to the top of the hour, just, you know, plus or minus an hour. San Francisco, 4 o'clock. Oakland, around 5, so the evening commute. You'll be hit with the rainfall. Concord, 5 o'clock. Redwood City, 5 o'clock. Fremont, 6 o'clock, and it may be even after 6 o'clock before that rain makes it to San Jose and Las Gatas. So it's a north-to-south progression. Some of you getting rain before the lunch hour in the far North Bay. Most of us not seeing rain until this afternoon and this evening. So it's a dry morning commute. How's that commute going? Here's Gianna with traffic. Good morning.
I mean, it's crowded, but Paul, so helpful to see that map and the time that the rain is going to kind of settle in there so you can really pick out your area for that evening commute as you hit the roadways this morning. You can see it's crowded 880 near Paseo Grande, but the roadways are dry through here. And, you know, as Paul mentioned, timing everything out, that rain's going to settle in, especially for that afternoon and evening drive. So keep that in mind. San Mateo Bridge, we're seeing some brake lights here as well. It's crowded, certainly, as you head over towards 101. Once you get through the peninsula, though, not too bad. If you've got an early flight to catch at SFO, you're good to go on the freeways getting to the airport. If you're taking South 880, though, that's where those brake lights are, all the way down into that Fremont area, South 680 out of Pleasanton into the Sonoma Grade, getting busy there as well. But if you're taking 880, say, to the Oakland airport, right now both directions all clear through Oakland with no delays there. Reed?
So this morning we're also keeping an eye on recovery efforts around the Francis Scott Key Bridge after this. You see, this is what happened. You see that container ship hit that bridge and then it just went down in seconds. 24 hours later, the search is on for the bodies of 6 construction workers presumed dead. Earlier this morning, people from the National Transportation Safety Board, They got there. They boarded that crashed cargo ship to try to recover its data recorder. They've done that. This video, though, I mean, look at that. There is the impact. There's the collapse. It still defies understanding. Caused the total failure of that bridge. And we're also mindful of this because it serves tens of thousands in Baltimore every morning. And they now don't have the use of the bridge. In fact, so many people are echoing what Maryland's governor said yesterday, that losing the bridge is a shock.
The whole bridge just fell down. Everybody. The whole bridge just collapsed.
People like the person you just heard on that call say they want to know what happened. So here's what we know so far in that investigation. That container ship lost power. It was adrift in the river. It sounded Mayday alarms, and police quickly got those alarms. They were able to stop traffic on the bridge. You just heard Tony DeCoppel talk about that. But it was little help for those who were already on the bridge that collapsed just seconds later. Two survivors, we can tell you, were pulled from the water. Six others presumed dead this morning. Their families watching at the water's edge.
I can't imagine how painful today has been for these families.
So yesterday at this time, we used the words rescue, as did the governor there. Overnight, that word turned to recovery. Also, there's a traffic impact. It's a mess in Baltimore this morning as that entire busy port area remains closed. So this isn't just a story on the other side of the country, right? We feel this in the Bay Area because we are a bridge-dependent community. And here's the case for that. The Key Bridge serves about the same number of cars each day as does the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge does there on the bottom left-hand of your screen. We also see a lot of container ships and cruise ships and water traffic there over near our Golden Gate and Bay Bridges and Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. And as we go over these bridges this morning, you see the Golden Gate here behind me, Gianna. Every one of us that crosses the bridges, maybe in the last 24 hours, we feel that anxiety. We're wondering, has something like this happened or could something like this happen?
Yeah, I know it's something definitely a lot of people, especially as they commute, are thinking about. And Reed, if you remember, the old Bay Bridge actually took a couple of hits in about a span of 6 years. So in 2007, the Costco Busan slammed into a bridge support tower. It ripped a gash into the side of the ship, and it caused an oil spill, 52,000 gallons of oil that spilled into the bay. Then over in 2013, fast forward to 2013, an empty oil tanker caused some minor damage. That's because it struck a bridge tower. And this was in heavy fog, and fog very common here in the Bay Area. Now, both times, of course, the bridge stood its ground, and Caltrans tells our Wilson Walker that's actually by design.
This is the most seismically advanced bridge ever designed, right? The eastern span of the Bay Bridge, it's not just the fender system, but
Caltrans Bart Ney talking about the first line of defense on the new Bay Bridge. And that is the fender system that you see here. And while this one is unique to the tower foundation of the eastern span, there is something like this on every bridge in the Bay Area.
So some of those systems have completely different foundations, so they never actually touch the bridge. Other bridges have the fenders designed into their foundations, so they're designed to actually crumple and absorb the energy. The idea is that the vessel never actually hits the bridge structure.
So imagine as people travel around the Bay Area, they're going to see some different engineering, but it's all doing the same thing.
That's 100% correct, because we've got all different, it's almost a bridge zoo in the Bay Area. You've got so many different types of bridges. Depending on where you're at, the fender system has been designed for that particular bridge.
Yesterday's operations were hampered by reduced visibility.
And the problem that we've really had with the illusions that we've seen has been when oil tankers hit them, the ship takes the damage, not the bridge. The ships don't make it to the bridge, and that's by design. But if it's an oil tanker, then suddenly you've got oil to deal with in the bay.
You pick it up, and it's just that consistency of that goo. And you can just
in this respect, that, the Costco Busan spill is evidence that the fender system can work. But what about the circumstances as we understand them in Baltimore, with a large ship landing a direct hit at a pretty good speed?
And so that impact is being reported at being about 8 knots, and which is significant for a ship of that size. Yeah. But had we seen something like that here on one of our bay bridges, the fender systems are designed to withstand that.
And it's not just the fenders. All of the bay's bridges have been retrofitted some several times over, so they all have an added factor of resilience in the event of a collision.
So that's another advantage to California. Because of the earthquakes, we've had to design our bridges so that they can absorb energy. So even if you get the bridge actually being touched, all of our bridges have got the ability to move a little bit. But the idea really is not to have a vessel hit the structure.
Well, the Key Bridge collapse isn't expected to have an impact on the Port of Oakland, but it could cause some disruptions when it comes to the supply chain. So since right now the Port of Baltimore is blocked, it's one of the busiest on the East Coast. And President Biden says the federal government will pay to rebuild the bridge. And of course, we'll continue to get updates, including from our reporters out in that area. Jared Hill joined us at one point earlier this morning with an update on the bridge collapse in Maryland. And again, we'll continue to update you on this on air and online at KPIX.com and on the free CBS News app.
Well, looking live at the city of Oakland this morning, you know, after more than a year without a permanent police chief, finally a chance to meet the man who is tapped to replace LeRon Armstrong, fired by Mayor Sheng Tao. That made headlines. Floyd Mitchell, the new top cop, he will be front and center at City Hall for a chance to meet you, the public. Mitchell resigned as leader of the Lubbock, Texas Police Department and has been in the running for the Oakland job for months. His first day, we understand, will be in April or May. And we know he has some challenges, some fights on two fronts. First, lowering business killing crime in Oakland and also uniting a community around that work. Also in Oakland, we can tell you an announcement about who will join a Kennedy on the campaign trail running for the presidency. So here on this video is rollout of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about his Bay Area pick for a running mate.
I'm so proud to introduce to you the next Vice President of the United States, my fellow lawyer, a brilliant scientist, technologist, a fierce warrior mom, Nicole Shanahan.
This city will always have a special place in my heart. You know, I grew up just a few miles from this very spot.
Shanahan, you'll be hearing a lot more from her in the coming months. She's a lawyer, a tech entrepreneur based in San Francisco and from Oakland. She's also a deep-pocketed supporter of Kennedy. She spent millions for a Kennedy Super Bowl ad and is the ex-wife of a Google co-founder. Minutes ago, we spoke with political analyst David McEwen about what this pick means for the presidential election.
Someone is a newcomer in politics, but she's also an expert in AI. So this gives a kind of an idea of where Kennedy's thinking is at. He's kind of leaning in to new voter groups, kind of carving off some of those voter groups, particularly from the Democratic base, but also someone who is going to face the spotlight of politics, a place she hasn't been because she hasn't had to really face much of that scrutiny.
So this ticket, McEwen says, remains a long shot in the election. The latest numbers have Kennedy Jr. polling at just 12%, but the team could be a spoiler and kind of an erosion for other votes in the race for former President Donald Trump and current President Joe Biden. We'll be watching the impacts of that one, Gian.